I've had a series of friends who have helped me escape from my own mind again and again. It's a great blessing to have them, through humor, through demand. I remember driving across the country with a friend once, and we were driving along, and I was busy being neurotic and getting somewhere, and we'd pass a store at the Grand Union supermarket, and he'd say, "Grand Union." I'm looking on the map to find out where we're going to have lunch, you know, and he's busy with Grand Union. But it would sink into my consciousness as if from a distance. It would slowly filter its way in and say, "Oh, shit," you know. Merge. I mean, you do them all dead end. Just constantly flipping consciousness. I'm just playing with all of this stuff, so you just to think about relationship as yoga. I mean, my history of being a therapist and having clients was that during that time, my psychodynamics were such that I was so not resting in my being, but in a feeling of inadequacy, psychodynamic inadequacy that was fulfilled through proving myself to the world and in other people's eyes, something that I'm sure somebody here understands. That when I finally got to be a therapist, I really needed to be a therapist. And I needed my patients to be patients. They were called patients in those days. I needed my patients to be patients. And I needed to be curing them. I didn't need to cure them because then they'd leave me. And then I'd have to go find another one. So I needed them to be being cured and be deeply appreciative of how I was curing them. But I needed them to stay a patient. I mean, I was going to sit at the side of the desk with a knee hole, and I had the clipboard. I mean, you just think of this pathology now in terms of where we've come in the years since then. This was 30 years ago. But I realize now, when I look at my dynamics, how punitive I was of somebody who came to me who was strong, who didn't really need me in that way, who wanted to become free. I mean, I say kiddingly, but it's not so funny that if I in those days met who I am today, who came into his office, I would hospitalize him. Because who I am now would be such a threat to who I was then. So I invite you to examine the way in which your identity with your roles and your personality dynamics are creating a very rigid system with other people, and whether or not you are using the relationships in a way to get free from that. First of all, do you realize you're entrapped in them? That is, I mean, I wrote a chapter in How Can I Help called Helper's Prison with Paul Gorman. And the way in which you get into helping because it makes you feel righteous, it relieves suffering, it's all good things. So you get into, I'm a helper. And I realized as I examined the dynamics of my own helping and the helping of the people around me, how disempowering this was to everybody else around them. How it needed helpless people to help. And I was seeing how you could give something to somebody in one way where you're identified with the giver, which forces them to be the receiver. Or you could give somebody to someone and yet not be caught in giving and receiving, but just be in shared awareness. It's like when I give these beads from my right hand to my left hand, the right hand didn't get caught in giving and the left hand didn't get caught in receiving. There was no giver, there was no receiver. And yet there was a giver and receiver. That's the key. There was no giver and receiver, and yet there was a giver and receiver. How do you play the roles? How do you have the needs without being trapped in them? And the first part of it is to realize you're in prison. To realize you are trapped. Not really, but you are thinking you're trapped. And what that appreciation does, and that's the appreciation of the nature of Dharma, what that appreciation does is it changes the way in which you look at your life experiences. It's the same thing about the issue of coming into your passion. Or as Alan Watts once said to me, Richard, you're too attached to emptiness. You know, it's pushing away the form too much. And the form becomes the curriculum. The form is the projection of the mind. Which forms you see, that's your karma writ large. And the issue of extricating oneself from those clingings, not to be not in them, but to be in them and not in them. Now you have the possibility of being with other people who are not trapped, who are always in that spacious awareness. Ramana Maharshi's beautiful example, just very, always so simple and present and loving. That blend of compassion and emptiness, that's the way those come together. I was in Madras, I believe, and I met a man who was in his 50s, I guess, and he had grown up as a small child around Ramana Maharshi. And he used to sit on his knee and all that. And then he grew up and he became an army officer, and now he was sort of retired or something like that. And he said, one day, he said, an English gentleman came to the ashram. And he said, this English gentleman was the head of a large set of businesses, and one of his set of businesses was in Madras. And the businessman was having trouble sleeping, and he was very agitated and very upset. And the manager of his Madras store said, of a business said, you should meet this saint at Arunachala, Tiruvannamalai. And so the Englishman agreed, and he flew over to India in a flying boat, as the story was told, whatever that means, I guess a seaplane. And he came to Madras, and his manager took him to see Ramana Maharshi, and he was going to stay there for several weeks. And he came into the hall, and the hall was silent, everybody was sitting there, and he sat down, and nothing happened. Right now, this is a very successful businessman. And he started to get more and more agitated. And it was about 15 minutes before he couldn't stand it any longer. And he stood up and he was like, I'm leaving here. This is silly. I can't spend my time this way. And Ramana Maharshi, who very rarely talked, said to him, sir, before you leave, would you do me one favor? The man said, yes. Would you be kind enough to write a note to your wife? What a bizarre request. All right, if that's what you want. So they brought him paper and a pen, and he wrote, Dear Hilda, I didn't find what I wanted here. I'll be back on Tuesday. Did you water the plants? And has Doris gone to the dentist? Signed, Henry. And Ramana Maharshi held out the hand, and the note was getting in a hut. Ramana Maharshi folded it, and he put it up under his buttock, which was naked. And he said, would you be kind enough just to stay with me for 5 more minutes? The man said, all right. Sat down. And they sat there for 5 minutes. Then Ramana Maharshi got up, and he started to shuffle out of the room. And as he passed the man, he handed him the paperback. And then he went out of the room, and the man said, like, what kind of crap is this? What am I doing? I've come here. This guy's mad and insane. And he looks down at the paper, and it's on a different piece of paper. And he opens it up, and it says, Dear Harry, I'm sorry you didn't find what you want in India. I have watered the plants. Doris has gone to the dentist. I would write a longer letter, but the tall man with the turban who brought your note is insisting I answer very quickly. Signed, Hilda. Now, those are cheating. Those are miracle stories. They're really not anything at all, but it's just fun.